Where do you live?
Mumming Hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of Slug. Mumming Hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of Slug. Mumming Hand.
Where do you live?
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of It's Time to Rewind, the podcast trapped in its own time loop right along with the movies we discuss. This season is a serial bomb, yo, and we're looking at Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, starting off with Buffy Season 6, Episode 5, Life Serial. Today we're discussing the 7th loop, starting at 26 minutes and 1 second, with Buffy grabbing Giles' glasses and throwing them on the ground, and ends at 26 minutes and 13 seconds, with Buffy attacking the female customer. Joining me again is Tierney Steele from the Apocalypse Now Minutes. How are you doing today?
I was doing better before I watched Personal Property Destruction. As a glasses wearer, this scene is very upsetting to me.
That's funny. I do remember whenever I gave you the spreadsheet that had all the available episodes. This was listed as a group of episodes, and you referred to it as the one where Buffy breaks Giles' glasses.
You know where exactly where my mind went.
So let's, you know, again, this is a relatively short loop. There's really just kind of two brief moments in it. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. You know, this is, I feel like, a lot of people's kind of favorite moments, because it's just so silly and comedic and just kind of out of nowhere with Buffy. Well, it does start out with Giles repeating his line that he said a few times at this point, you know, word in your ear, and Buffy just, go ahead.
Yeah, I have questions. So I have worked retail, like this, and I have worked in a library. I actually have a master's in library science, and I don't know that I agree with Giles that the best way to make a sale is to focus on acting. So it used to be that people who used the library were called borrowers. So you wanted to help the borrower find the correct book, the right information, whatever. Then they became patrons. You are a patron of a library. And I have actually now seen some people now refer to them as customers. And there is a huge backlash about that in the library world, because it's like, no, they're not customers. We're different. We're providing different services. We don't want to think of this as like a transactional thing. We want to think of it as like the olden days with our borrowers.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that reminds me of my own job, because I work at a, you know, an arcade restaurant combo. And whenever I started there, a big thing was that, you know, in this company culture, we don't refer to them as customers. We refer to them as guests, because they're guests. You know, we want to treat them as guests, not as customers.
And I think people can tell from the sigh, if my mic picked it up, that is why I'm no longer in their retail world. Or the desk of the library world. I was trying to think about it. Like, is he right? Like, okay, if I think about it like the library, I just focus on helping the person find what they need, rather than trying to make a sale. Which actually, I did get a really good laugh the other day. I was at Dunkin' Donuts and I ordered, and they said, would you like hash browns with that? And I thought, you know what? I would. And then I said, good job on the upsell. And she laughed and like didn't respond. And I was like, oh, sorry. Was I supposed to pretend I don't know that that's something? But Giles' glasses are so iconic in this TV show. The destruction of them is like a gasp. I think I probably did gasp out loud the first time I saw this. Like, Buffy, what are you doing? You can't do that.
It's so much of an Anthony Head prop that he uses so skillfully across the, the entire series. It's just incredible the way that he works his glasses, and you know, he's always taking them off and cleaning them and putting them back on.
Well, and I don't remember which episode it is, but there's one where they call him out because he's blind and he still cleans his glasses. And like, wait, do you just do that when you don't want to like know what we're doing? So I had mentioned that I was a huge Buffy fan, and a big part of still keeping Buffy in my life now was that I listened to the podcast Buffering the Vampire Slayer, and they write a song about each episode, but they also created jingles for different characters and themes throughout the course of their show. And I think it will tell your listeners all they need to know if they know that the Giles jingle starts off, "Hot Dad, when you were younger, you were real bad." and that I am looking at a pin that is a green mug with the teabag string sticking out of it, and it says Randy for Giles on it. And that is merch from that show. And I found my people, basically. And we actually do have a spinoff Facebook group that is for people who listen to Buffering the Vampire Slayer and work in libraries to like nerd out in specific ways. Having this moment with him was just perfect. Like, it always makes me laugh. It's one of the things I remembered from the time loop episode. It was both traumatizing, because not only do I wear glasses, but I now have a child that wears glasses. He's already broken them. He's had them less than 6 months. I've already had to take advantage of our accident insurance for that and, like, go get replacement frames. So, to watch them just be pulverized like that was a little hard, a little hard to watch.
And I feel like it's so great just the way, just the physical acting of Sarah Michelle Gellar, just the way that she's like spinning her arms in little circles as she's stomping with her, you know, her high heels.
Oh, and of course Buffy is wearing heels. I love it all. And then the other thing is, the other part of this loop is her attacking the woman who needs a mummy hand.
Yeah, she just runs up to her, grabs her by the collar, and says, you're the one doing this.
Okay, so we know she's not the one doing this. We know this is part of the trio's evil plan. But I would like to know more about this woman, because I don't know what it is, if she just, like, she kind of looks like Frances McDormand, but not really. And she's got the beauty mark, and she wants to do a prosperity spell, and she called ahead to make sure they had a mummy hand, and I have a lot of questions about who this person is, and do we need to worry about her using magic for nefarious purposes?
Well, I mean, if she's just using it for prosperity, that feels like someone who, you know, Google was definitely around at this point, because this is the show that popularized using Googling as a verb. I feel like she's someone that just Googled ways to get money quick, and one of them was like a prosperity spell.
Okay. Well, but she obviously has some knowledge, because when Buffy presents her with the stabbed hand, she's like, all the she knows she needs it alive, and I guess hands don't kick, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, alive and fully functioning.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It seems like she has just enough knowledge to maybe get herself into trouble in this world. Also, prosperity spells can go horribly wrong. Speaking of movies that were not well reviewed by critics, but I have a soft spot for, see Wonder Woman 84. Anyway. Not that I've been racking my mind trying to remember which one. I was like, there's a crystal and it gives you whatever you want, but it's a whole, like, that also comes up in, it's not WB, it's not CW, but, somehow my TV shows me DC, Stargirl, and there is a character where they have, like, a wish-granting genie, but they have to be really careful how they word the wishes.
Oh, those are always fun.
He's always causing trouble.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I watched like the pilot and maybe the second episode. I liked it, but I didn't get around to continuing it.
Mm-hmm. That's I have a spouse who's also into all these shows, and so as I just said, like, I don't know when they're on, I don't know what network they're on, they just appear in my television and I watch them when my kid goes to bed.
Yeah, my main site that I had been doing the longest is my Flights, Tights, and Movie Nights, where I review superhero movies, and you know, I've been doing that for 10 years. I've covered like over 500 movies, and like right around, well, right whenever The Flash hit its first season, I started a spinoff site called Channel Superhero, where I was doing the same thing for TV shows. And this was like right at the start of the comic book TV show boom. And there was...
Did you not realize what you were getting into?
Pretty much. And, you know, I was reviewing like five different shows at once, like Gotham, The Flash. I wasn't doing Arrow. I was doing Legends of Tomorrow. Mm. And I think there was like two others that I was all watching at the same time. And I did that for like a season and a half. And then I just got so burned out that I just stopped watching them all completely.
Aww.
Even though, like,
it happens,
I liked them.
Like, yeah. You have to step back sometimes.
And I kind of want to get back to it because I, you know, the site still exists, that there haven't been any articles written for years, but I keep kind of wanting to go back. Like, you know, I've, with She-Hulk, it's like, you know, I'm really liking She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And that's like a very controversial show, and like I wanted to watch it, but you know, I watched kind of two episodes, and after two or three episodes had been out, and it's like, I don't really, you know, I don't want to go back and watch the first episode again, and so I can write about it.
Hi, I've been really enjoying She-Hulk. Tatiana, is it Maslany?
Maslany,
she is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I could take or leave the She-Hulk story, but as the season's been going on, I'm getting more into it. So I would support you in that endeavor. I am someone who still, all these years later, all these unwritten possible blog posts later, I still yell every time Barry says something about how Iris's dad is his dad. And I'm like, yeah, because you were raised as siblings. It's weird. My husband is like, get over it. I'm like, I will never get over it. They were raised as siblings, but they are supposedly the love story of this universe, and I will die mad about it. Because, I don't know, no, I can't. It's a step too far, which I realize is hypocritical, because I also watch all the Game of Thrones-y stuff, but I don't care. It's weird. They need to stop, like, reminding me of it. But yeah, of those, I will say Felicity on Arrow was a favorite character of mine. And then what I loved about that was Arrow's little sister is the sister from the OC. So my superhero shows and my Pretty People Have Problems shows collided in a really lovely way. So if you ever get around to watching that one, I will be very curious to see what you think of those characters. Because I came to them with no knowledge of the comics, to be clear to any listeners. Like, I read, I think I have the first 30 of Buffy season 8 in comics.
Yeah, I have the entire run of Buffy season 8, and then I stopped, I think, three issues into season 9.
Okay. I know I didn't do all of season 8, but I waited till like they completed a story, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm calling it here. And then I've read Wonder Woman's when the DC did those new 52s. Mm-hmm. I read the Wonder Woman collections, but I'm not a big comic like when I tried to go back and read like Bat because I really like Batman. So I was like, oh, I'll read the Batman comics, and I was like, no, I hate everything. I read some Silver Surfer, like an omnibus of Silver Surfer stuff, but I, the actual comics have a really hard time with the world around it. Love it. So I feel like those those superhero shows were really good for me because it's like, all
right. I
right.
feel like comics is something that it's so difficult, and I'm not a huge comics person either. Like I haven't read hardly any like traditional superhero comics. I have the Buffy, I have the Angel, After the Fall, which is like the season six. I have the Max, which is kind of a smaller indie comic that some people may have heard of. And that's about the beginning and end of it for me. There's like so many different styles and so many different writers, but it's hard to find the one that's the right fit for you unless you have someone that's like really knows comics and knows your style that they can recommend something for you.
Yeah, I will say I really enjoyed Bone, which isn't a traditional comic. It's like a huge comic book. And then thinking of that made me realize on the fantasy world, I would also like to recommend the podcast The Adventure Zone, which I started listening to around the same time as Buffering the Vampire Slayer, which is the McElroy brothers, podcasting royalty, and their dad playing. It started out as playing D&D, and they're doing various games because they've had different seasons. They had graphic novels made of their early seasons.
Oh, nice.
So I have those up. I have those sitting upstairs on my shelf too. Cause I was trying to think like what other like comics have I bought? And so, yeah, the first one is Here There Be Gerblins. But yeah, The Adventure Zone, I did not know if I was going to like that. I did not know if that was really like the sort of show for me. I jumped in late. But I waited for a season to start, and then I could just kind of jumped in and was like, I'll just go along with it, which has kind of been my approach to all the superhero stuff. Like, I'll just go along with it, and surely if it's that important, there'll be a hint. And so, yeah, I've just...
And if you're always... And if you're ever curious about, you know, if something means something, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a dozen articles on the internet to tell you what you missed.
Exactly. Yes.
And then jumping back to the loop, I really only have kind of one more question. Like, you know, we see her throw the woman off screen. Do you think that, like, where do you think this loop resets? Do you think that it resets, like, as soon as they hit the ground? Or do you think, like, Buffy's able to get a few licks in?
Well, she already took out her anger on the glasses. You know, maybe once, like, the woman hits the ground or something. Okay. I can't see it lasting, like, while Buffy, like, forcibly removes her from the magic box, you know? Like, I don't know.
And just tosses her out the door. And don't come back. Yeah. And then she turns around, and that's when the bell rings again.
Yeah, yeah. Which, if that is what would have happened, we would have got to see it. Because that's a very Buffy thing.
All right, and so, you know, I've got a couple other characters. I think we talked enough about Giles. He was on my list for this one too. And besides Giles, Dawn, what's your thoughts on Dawn? Because I know she basically is one of those characters that, you know, she popped up at the beginning of season five, and it was one of those like kind of trope breaking tropes where it's like they introduced the kid's sister. Or like the little kid, except she's a teenager. And when she shows up, it's like she's been there the whole time. I feel like, you know, other shows have done that before. Like, you know, Rick and Morty had a whole episode dedicated to those types of characters. But I feel like this is the first, if not just one of the first, that went in that direction.
Dawn messed with my mind so bad when she first showed up. I remember, like, turning to my dad and being like, what, who, because, like, in the episode they introduce her, they show, like, the photographs and stuff. So it's like she has been there the whole time. And I was just like, what is happening? And he was like, I don't know. And I had mentioned last time that season five was a little weird for me because I wasn't watching it in real time. So I didn't have that, like, immediate connection to Buffy that I had in the previous seasons. And so... I kind of like wanted to hate Dawn because she made my head hurt. but I wasn't invested enough to truly hate. And then the season five finale pulled together. It was just so beautiful. It was just such a moment. And then it really set you up on this cliffhanger of like, what is, or how is Buffy going to exist as a TV show? Like, what, how is this even possible? And so,
well, I mean, they thought that that was going to be the ending, and I think that would have been a good ending for the series as a whole.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel that way too.
I'm biased, like I said, because my friend was such a Spike fan. Like, I really followed. Well, she started out, first it was Faith, and then it was Spike. And I was like, you just want someone in a leather jacket that is kind of bad, but also good.
I think if they had ended Buffy at season 5, Spike would have just shown up earlier on Angel.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just Dawn is annoying, but also she's supposed to be. Like, yeah. I have a little sister. The Dawn dynamic always made a lot of sense to me. And I really liked the way, like, Buffy's friends kind of took her under their wings. And so, I don't know. Oh, that was one thing that I was not prepared for that I will warn your listeners, although it's probably way too late. If you pop this on Hulu, the previously on starts with Buffy's mom. I was not like in a headspace for that to be the first thing I saw when I pressed play. Oh my god. So yeah, Dawn just becomes one of the gang. I love anytime Spike has to babysit her.
Yeah, I think Spike and Dawn have an interesting dynamic in general. But I do feel like in season 6, they didn't really know what to do with Dawn. She was just kind of there, and they gave her the whole klepto thing.
That was weird and totally unnecessary. Hmm. Yeah, Dawn, and I think it must be this season, she has the weird, like, the guys, the date with the...
Yeah, that's where she has the first kiss with the vampire.
Yeah, you're right. They did not know what to do with her. And then I feel like season 7, they kind of were like, okay, we're just going to fold you in to this big wrap up.
I didn't think that I had jumped in, that I had watched Buffy the first time around, but thinking back on it, I do remember at the time that, you know, after season 7 ended, all the rumors were flying around that they thought the next spinoff was going to be Dawn, the Vampire Slayer.
Hmm. I mean, I'd have watched it. I bought the comic, so obviously I would have. I won't drag your show into too much politics, but I will say that perhaps in 2017, there was maybe a march that I, a non-male, went to. I made a sign that was the quote, "Are you ready to be strong?" with pictures of all the Slayers activating from the series finale of Buffy.
Nice.
That was my sign that I carried. So, so it's one of those things, like, Buffy's just there in my head. It's so funny that, like, I didn't prepare anything about Dawn because we don't see her in these clips. And yet here I am having like this huge philosophical, like, what did Dawn mean to me conversation with you. So it really is. It's like these people are people that we grew up with.
Yeah. I think that wraps up this episode. Thanks again for talking with me and going on some interesting tangents, but you know, with these montage episodes, tangents are always expected and welcome. So for everyone else listening, why don't you go ahead and take a moment to let them know where they can find you online.
I'm One Steel Sister on social media, and if you add a .com, that's my website. And if you want to hear more of me waxing nostalgic about fictional characters, well, basically any of my Movies by Podcast, Movies by Minutes podcast will do it. But especially in the summer, I run a series called VCR Privileges, which is every summer we talk about a movie that I just watched on repeat on the you know, you'd be home at the summer and like at night, what are you going to do? It's too dark. The streetlights came on. You had to go home for dinner. And you just pop in like this same movie over and over again, or it was the one you always rented at Blockbuster when, like, you didn't know what else to get. It was your go-to. And so we talk about summer movies. We talk about The Sandlot, A League of Their Own. We've done American Graffiti, because, like, my summer is not complete until I've watched American Graffiti at least once. And in 2023, we're going to do Dirty Dancing. So we are just chugging away on those, and it really is just an excuse to, like, enjoy these movies that we've seen a billion times and, like, notice things we never noticed before in them. So
yeah, I recently went through The League of Their Own, and that's a really great listing. That's, you know, it's a lot of great stuff in there, and it's a great movie. And, you know, I binge a lot of Movies by Minutes podcasts, and I always pick ones where I've seen the movie beforehand. And so I don't always rewatch the movie after I finish binging them, but A League of Their Own was definitely one that deserved a rewatch after I finished the podcast.
What a wonderful movie. I just almost said, what a perfect movie. No movie is perfect. If these podcasts have taught me anything, no movie is perfect, but that one is up there.
And as always, I am Bubbleweed, and you can find me at FlightsTightsMovieNights.com. You can find me on Twitter, where I'm at Bubbleweed. You can find this show, It's Time to Rewind, on Anchor.fm, as well as anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. We also have a Facebook Facebook group, It's Time to Rewind, a time loop group. You can join that and discuss episodes as they come out, as well as have discussions on time loop movies, TV episodes, novels, video games, anything there is welcome. And so, until next time, grrr!
Arg!
Where do you live?
Mummy Hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of Slug. Mummy Hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of Slug. Mummy Hand.
Where do you live?